Where were you in 1975? I know a lot of people I speak to, 1975 way years, 10, 20 years, even 30 years before they were born. But I can tell you where I was. I was overseas in London. My father had taken us, the whole family, in an overseas trip for a year as he went to different universities and different research centers, and we tripped around sightseeing. We did some schoolwork, of course, but in England we did all the sightseeing things. We went to the Tower of London. We saw the Beefeaters, and what were the Beefeaters doing? They were guarding the crown jewels, and we had a little look at the crown jewels, and they were definitely, as I realized later, an artifact. They were part of the entire edifice of the royal family and the queen. And I sort of asked or felt naively, are they there? What happens when the queen wants to actually wear her crown? At what time does she have the scepter? And why are we seeing all these old crowns from earlier on? But there were lots of suits of armor and lots of stories, tour guides talking about it. And seemed a little bit odd to actually think about it. And over the years, I've never quite understood how sort of artifacts actually make up the fabric of the whole state. So you see, obviously, the crown used everywhere in the old British Post and things like that. But coming outside Paris, there was the Système International, the SI area in the suburb of Paris. I thought, well, this would be fantastic. And often, as I've read about it, I thought, oh, that should be a tourist attraction. People would like to file past and see the back then, the original meter. And we still have with us the big K, the original central kilogram. Now, what's happened is that people have become tired of having to go to Paris to get their size up their meter ruler and take it back to their own country to get things done. They worked out a different way of measuring meter, and that was a certain number of wavelengths of light, the distance travelled by light in a second, and the second is determined by the number of beats of an atom. It's still a bit complicated, and we're told that they're going to simplify that even more. But it just meant that people could get their atom, beat it, and measure how far so many beats of that atom was, and that would give them their distance. It would also give them their seconds. So there's no longer a universal meter, but there is a universal kilogram, the big K. And so what does it look like? Well, it's not a ball, because I could well imagine a ball would be nice and shiny. That would be a bit more cosmic to see a ball. And nowadays, people are trying to manufacture a perfect kilogram ball to replace this errant kilogram. So the kilogram basically is like a squat cylinder. We have a condensed milk in cans up over here. It's about a small size can. It's obviously much heavier than your can of soup. It's a kilogram, and it's made out of platinum and iridium. Iridium is known for its incredible density, and platinum, oh, everyone knows what platinum is. It's nice and shiny and resists corrosion. So this kilogram is not for general exhibition. Unfortunately, it's held within three glass domes. That's the Big K. It's called the Big K, or the Grand Kilogram, the Big Kilogram. And it has a unique measured mass of something. Well, it doesn't have a measured mass. It's actually got a mass of one. Everything else has a point something or other in it. So, it's rather inconvenient. So a lot of countries have their sister kilogram, but the sister kilograms are listed with a number after it. Kilogram number 55, I tend to remember, in Colorado, near the center of American excellence of kilograms. And so around the world, people have manufactured copy kilograms, very precise, that they can use. And you can imagine a drama unfolding where someone takes the kilogram hostage. And I'll explain that a bit later before which I'll do my introduction. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. I'm taking you on a journey into where now from the kilogram. But let's imagine a fantasy situation, because the fantasy situation will really, really tell you what's going on. What happens if people, terrorists, break in? They ignore everything, but they go straight to the kilogram. They go to the kilogram and they take it hostage. And what they suddenly do is they get a file and they actually file a bit of the kilogram off. Now, what that means is that because we've defined everything as an artifact, our crown jewels of our science, we've got a crown jewels of science. Someone's taken, it's like the scepter of power, stolen the crown of the queen. She can't be a queen anymore. Someone's stolen her crown. That's why I've said that before. I don't know whether I've made that point all that clearly. But what would happen, say if someone just filed the kilogram down, obviously you can see as he keeps on filing, how much does it weigh? Well, it's hard to say. You could say it weighs a kilogram, no matter how much they file it. But say if they filed it down to half the mass it actually is, what's actually happened as far as our science is concerned, and they've doubled the mass in terms of kilograms of the universe, and they've changed everything, and obviously everything would adjust, so it would be all right, but the world would be scrambling, would be lost. There'd be people going around the street wailing and type of stuff. No, that actually wouldn't happen, but in theory, in terms of the way everything is organized, everything is tracked back to that kilogram. In fact, if you get a power bill, the power bill is rated on electricity and power, and let's see, a joule is, you use a joule of power, I'm going to say this because it's, I'm going to use this later on, just a small secret, is the amount of energy necessary to accelerate a kilogram 1 meter per second. So a kilogram's sort of like a fairly, you can imagine a kilogram, I'm trying to imagine something cute, a kilogram, but say a guinea pig in a roadster, and that guinea pig wants to go fast in that roadster, and it puts its little paw on the accelerator, and the roadster accelerates accelerates at 1 meter per second for 1 meter. A joule is a newton applied over a meter, and a newton is will accelerate a kilogram at 1 meter per second. So that little hamster or guinea pig puts its little paw on the accelerator and accelerates at 1 meter per second over the distance of 1 meter, and that's a joule. It's used a joule. So that's an example of it. And so if you actually stole the kilogram, things would be awry, but they're not. People haven't actually thought, oh, I'm going to really destroy civilization, I'm going to go to the kilogram in Paris and destroy it. But the plot is a bit thicker than that. There's less than 100 kilograms, because I would recognize if someone said, okay, 230, I'd say, look, that's not a real case. Someone sold you a fake kilogram, sort of like a Rolex watch on a Thai beach. It's got all the paperwork for it, but it's just not right. But all the kilograms, they're weighing them all the time, and the mystery has unfolded. The terrorist plot has unfolded, but not as we think. All the kilograms around the world are mysteriously getting heavier. By a smidgen of a microgram, but let's say 10 units, just very, very small. Some are getting 8 heavier, some are getting 9, 10, 11 units, fractional heavier, over time. And as the years pass, they're getting heavier and heavier. There's some wild child ones which have just got heavy by themselves. So what is happening is someone going in to all these institutes at night and actually putting a little few extra atoms on top and causing people to scratch their heads and you can imagine various, I'm not going to do an American or Russian accent, but these various people saying, our kilograms got heavier, sir. What? It's got heavier. But really there is another answer. So they've got a few wild child, so there's a room for error, but people measure these things incredibly well. What appears to be happening, you may have guessed it, is that the kilogram, the French kilogram, the kilogram, is actually getting a bit lighter, mysteriously lighter, and there's really no explanation for it. Cue religious people. It's obviously some sort of miracle that the 1 kilogram that we've made, the original kilogram, someone is getting in there and making it light. And so I think that's a evidence of supernatural powers. So, but people are aware of it. And so it's an impetus of saying, look, we've got to change it. And people are all about changing things anyway, simplifying the number system, and can I say the unit system has got a lot simpler from when I sort of emerged from my pupa as a PhD as a university student. We were still some people using ergs. I love the unit of the angstrom, 10 to the minus 10 meters. What a fantastically lovely unit. And BTU, all these hogshead, there's a hogshead as a unit, not that I've ever used it, but things have thankfully simplified. So we're going to get around to the kilogram. The kilogram is the last artifact, the last crown jewel, the last solid artifact which someone could, a terrorist could get to and destroy the science system. Theoretically, at least, and it will be a damn excuse. You're working away in Sydney for a while, saying, "Look, boss, I'm not so sure our kilograms that correct. I've got to pack it up and fly to Paris. It'll take me at least a month to get in there." So, although it's a good excuse for holiday, it's sort of not up to the standard of modern science. And remember, this is done before special relativity, and there's a whole heap of things. Our world has changed with Einstein. So we've had to tweak things such that things work in all frames of reference. So a second is a second in a spaceship. It's basically, when you come to think of it, Einstein's thought experiments have actually guided how we've actually defined the second and the meter, and defined the constancy of the speed of light is another I should say God-given constant, a constant of the universe. So what do we do about the kilogram? Well, there appears to be two camps. There's one camp which is build a beautiful sphere of a silicon crystal, and polish it down till it's a perfect sphere, and till it's as close as possible to the actual K, and then we're going to count the number of atoms in it. Now that's, to me, is still a bit artifacty, but apparently this number of atoms can actually be put forward to work out the base, the golden thing which contains mass. There's a unit, a constant which contains mass, and that's Planck's constant. Planck's constant is some incredibly small number. The term is 10 to the minus 36, so that's, if you have a millionth, it's a very small thing. And the Planck's constant is really fundamental, and it's basically the pixel size of Earth. The pixel size of matter. So an atom is defined, it's the volume which it eventually settles down at is governed by Planck's constant. And we're actually sitting on a ball of electrons which cannot be compressed, again due to Planck's constant. So Planck's constant has the mass in it. Planck's constant is something, and it's got units of mass, meters and time, and we've defined meters and time. So if we if we can measure a Planck's constant and settle in on define Planck's constants, we've defined a kilogram, and anyone who can measure a Planck's constant can actually measure a kilogram. So let's look into what are the units of Planck's constant. Planck's constant's derived is sort of like a joule unit system. I sort of rather like it. It's in joule seconds. So a joule second is a constant of an amount of an integral of a Lagrangian. We won't go into it. A joule. Joule second. The term for it is an action. This is an area of physics which is pre-computer physics, very high in equations, and we don't deal with it at school. We might deal with it later on at university. In classical physics, it's an action, a joule second. And so let's unplug what a joule is. A joule is a kilogram accelerated at a meter per second over a meter. So it's a kg m squared s to the minus 2, and that's a joule second times a second. So the second to the minus 2 cancels out. So the unit of the SI unit of Planck's constant is kilograms meters times meters to the minus 1, or meters per second. Now, this is rather interesting, because a mass times a speed times a distance, momentum times a distance. A momentum times a distance is actually a unit of angular momentum. That is, a mass swinging around your head, a kilogram at 1 meter per second, 1 kilogram. Swinging a meter away from your head at 1 meter per second has a one unit SI unit of angular momentum. And if you put the numbers in, you can see that if it's the conservation of angular momentum is the same mass and traveling at a particular speed, if I reel it in and reduce distance, you have to increase the velocity. So you'll know this when you see a ballerina, as we all do. See ballerinas pirouette, or I suppose ice skaters pirouette. They bring their arms in, they reduce their they conserve their angular momentum, but they're bringing their arms in, reducing 1 m and increasing the other meters per second. So you can see them really spin up, and they spin up incredibly because they're going at faster speed over a shorter radius. So how do we measure kilogram? Well, it actually means incredibly, and this is something I'll have to study more, and this is what I'm doing in this rehabilitation phase, increasing my cognitive ability, sort of going back, like I've had had a reset button pressed on me a few times to operation, so I've forgotten a lot of things, but I don't think I've ever really, really understood this. But it's quite amazing stuff, that you can actually build a balance with a kilogram on it, and balance that kilogram with magnetic fields which dissipate a certain amount of power. This does my head in. It's called a watt balance. And so NIST is, there's a whole lot of happy people on our website telling you how to build one of these with a bit of National Instrument software, a power source, and some Lego blocks, which is a long distance from the guarded stuff. But you know, obviously this is not available in 1975 because this involves people discovering a few other constants we didn't know about and getting the Nobel Prize for it in 1985. So there's a few other deep physics constants. And having said that, that's something I'm going to have to research on. I don't know everything, but I do know that where I thought really they would have got rid of the big K. I think the big K is still about it. There's still artifact kilogram. But I think it's they're debating about whether they're going to use Planck's constants or this complicated sphere method. The sphere method worries me because if you put this sphere on a table, it will roll off and bounce and shatter, and it'd be dreadful to try and stick a kilogram back together with super glue and that type of stuff. But it's Planck's constant, and I like Planck's constant because it's got units of action, but it is a unit, it's a little bit of angular momentum. It's kilograms, meters squared, s to the minus one. It's a pretty amazing thing. So it's actually, if you're measuring the angular momentum then, and it's something for you to do, is to actually get in and try and see if you can follow the complex argument. And I'm sure it'll be made simple, but not by me, of how they're actually going to use Planck's constant, which has got its kilogram just sitting out there in front of it. You know, we've got it's got the meters and the seconds, and the kilogram is just there for the taking. And so using Planck's constants, which you can measure with the photoelectric effect, there's a thousand ways that you can measure Planck's constant, but using that, and I think what's going to happen is that they're going to define Planck's constant, like they define the speed of light to be, so you know how they define the kilogram to be one and everything else is 1.0, all the sister ones are 1.0000, like that. The speed of light is an integer number of meters. And so they're settling on a number of integer numbers of meters. So I think what they've done is they will settle on an integer number for Planck's constant. It's we no longer any uncertainty in it. It will be defined, and from that will be defined the kilogram. It's interested me. It's fascinated me, it may at least fascinate you. At least the idea is that we still have one last crown jewel of science, and it is the big K. And I think it's a sort of celebrity weight or mass, like it's sort of the most celebrated mass of our civilization. But we're about to depose it and enter a world of pure equations. It's taken a little while since Einstein to actually take us away to universal time, and we're going to have a universal kilogram. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, keep on thinking, doing, and teaching science.